grown to go. I could have died so long before. Then I finally saw the sign, and I made it on down the line, one step at a time. I feel better, I can smile at it now. I feel better, oh, better, and even a little is still better. Oh, have mercy on me. Oh, it's probably plain to see that I got a whole lot of pain in me, and it will always remain in me. So cold, it's a crying shame. Yet here I am trying again, 'cause I refuse to die in vain. The circumstances put soul in me, and there ain't no holding me. I've got a heart made of gold in me. Can you believe this is where I've been? And when adversity comes again, I'll deal with it then. I feel better, I can laugh at it now. I feel better,
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the known world, listening to this podcast live or listening to it as a podcast later on. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Synergy, where we have talks about spirituality, what is consciousness, what is religion, and everything else in between. This is hosted by myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as co-hosted by none other than Pastor Joe Hill.
Because they've heard of him.
We want to thank you all for joining us again. You could have been anywhere, but you're here. You've decided to spend your lunch with us, or, you know, just an hour with us, and we appreciate it. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can catch the show live. You can catch the podcast live at Mahogany Love and Light. MahoganyLoveAndLight.podbean.com. That's MahoganyLoveAndLight.podbean.com. Or you can send us emails. All correspondence will be left anonymous at SynergyKHJH@gmail.com. That's SynergyKHJH@gmail.com. Okay? So again, and as a disclaimer, as we always say, none of the, because we all have, we both have jobs outside of this place, none of the perspectives, ideas, or anything that you hear on this show live or via podcast are represented by the university that I worked for, are not represented by the WMUL, the station that we broadcast out of, or any of its employees, affiliates, sponsors, or as well as for...
I guess we'd also say not meant to be representative of any particular denomination or congregation or clergy. These are just the private ideas and musings of two folks who like to think about these things and believe other folks are thinking about these things and that want a space to share what they're thinking. As always, we want to make sure folks understand we're not here to give you answers. We're having a conversation that we're offering to listeners to join in too. This is supposed to be a shared space for all of us. So if you have questions, if you have responses as we carry on, by all means, chime in.
All right. So last week we received a favorable response and a heavy response to last week's question, and that was last week's question was, is religion necessary, or, you know, social historically as well as currently, Has religion been used as a means of controlling the masses, controlling people? Okay, again, all of our talks are just not necessarily based around one specific faith, but just religion, spirituality, and consciousness. And we're still trying to figure out what is consciousness.
Yeah.
So we're still digging in that. But so last week's conversation was about religion. Today we want to talk about is there a God and the nature of it? But most importantly, a question that was sort of thrown to us last week that we want to sort of unpack and explore is, someone asks, if there is a God, or not necessarily a God, if there is something larger than us, placed us here, then why does it allow good things to happen to bad people? Good stuff happens. Well, why does it allow, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Why does it allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does
I thought the other question was more interesting.
Yeah, why does good things happen?
That's what got my brain going when you asked me that question. Why do good things happen to bad people? I thought,
And you know what? That's probably the same idea and the same question, one in the same.
Yeah.
Like, why do we receive, maybe a better way to putting it is, why do we receive things that we may not deserve? If you're a good person, why do bad things come your way? And if you're a bad person, why do we see bad people who we consider to be bad people flourish?
Yeah.
So that's the question for today. Again, if you have any ideas, suggestions, or comments, by all means, if you're listening in the live stream, if you're listening on a podcast, please type in, let us know what you think, and we'll respond, okay?
Yeah.
So where do we think we start from there, Joe?
Well, the reason the question got me was, why do good things happen to bad people? And I don't know, that it was, you always hear the other question. Why do things happen to folks who don't deserve it, as opposed to why do folks who I think deserve it not get it?
Yeah.
And, you know, some systems entertain ideas similar to karma, where you'll catch it next lifetime. It's kind of funny because some folks, when they talk about karma loosely, like want it now.
Yeah.
But karma in the system of religion it exists in is about, you know, it ain't going to catch you till rebirth.
Yeah.
But even with Christianity, often gets reduced to, whatever happens here happens, and it'll just catch you in the end. It's like, why not now? I want something now.
I think that, especially with karma, and it depends on your perspective on karma. My perspective on karma is different. I don't look at it as judgment or legalistic. I look at karma as the energy you put into the world, at some point or another, you will get back.
Yeah.
Now, I think that, personally, I think people need to believe that because I don't want to feel like, again, I think that life is about, at the end of the day, I think that life is about power and control.
Yeah.
People want to feel like they have control of their lives, you know what I'm saying?
Or at least,
like,
that it makes sense. If I don't have control of it personally, at least it's a system that makes sense.
Exactly. It has to at least be logical and make sense. It's kind of like when you was a kid and somebody did something to you, I'm going to get my big brother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, I heard a lady once, she was complaining at a school that I was volunteering at, and she was like, I'm going to the papers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna tell the papers.
Right.
Like, people want to feel like they have power and control.
Yeah.
People want to feel like if something bad is happening, that there is some sort of recourse.
Right.
That something can be done about it. You know what I'm saying?
And so, if I can't do it, my big brother, somebody's gonna do something
to you. So I think that we all have this need to believe in some form of karma, like, you're going to get yours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so if you watch the shift in what we're talking about, we've shifted from talking about a bad person to someone who's done something bad.
No, now, but we believe those people are bad people.
Well, we make that assumption then, because we assume that person that did something bad, that must be who they always are.
Yeah.
Because then I feel entitled to demand a judgment. So I'm. Let me sit there, maybe quiet for a second on the wave, because I got to think that through for myself. Because as I'm listening to us talk, we're talking about response to something bad happened to me, and I want recourse. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're dealing with a bad person. And the funny thing is, as I say that, nobody wants to hear that when something bad has been done to them.
Yeah.
If you've harmed me, if you've wronged me, if you've hurt me, the last thing you feel like hearing somebody say is, "Yeah, that person's not a bad person." Now, screw you. No.
Yeah.
But to really sit with that, does doing a bad thing make a person bad? Because if any person, even if you've been wronged, if anybody can scale back not more than probably a month and find some moment in which they did something bad.
I think that's when I talk about relationships, I always say, it's something that I said, that I got torn and a new orifice. Like no other was when I did the Love and Relationship show, and I said that I believe that all people that cheat aren't bad people.
Mm.
And man, talk about the floodgates opening.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's easier Logically and rationally, it's easy for me to say, you hurt me, therefore you are a bad person. It's easy for me logically and rationally to make sense of it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand, how can this person love me and hurt me?
Right.
How can this person be a good person but do something bad to me? You know what I'm saying? Now, again, for those that are listening, all of this is going to tie back to, again, our question of if there is something larger than us, if there is a God, or if there's something bigger than us, you know what I'm saying? All of this will tie back to the question, if there's a God, how does it allow good things to happen to bad people? We first have to figure out, what does that mean to be a good person or a bad person?
Yeah, yeah.
To figure out if they deserve it or not.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking about our habit, our human habit of thought of dichotomy.
Yeah.
That a person or a thing must be this or that, good or bad, without any recognition that when you say good without qualification, you're talking about an absolute.
Yeah.
Good or bad. And you know, for a lot of us, that's ingrained in childhood. What does someone often tell you when you do a bad thing? You're a bad boy, bad girl.
Yeah.
Bad dog, bad student, whatever. And think about how that, we're that takes us on a trail we need to follow maybe some other time, but how does that inform someone's sense of being when they've been defined by others as bad, and if that becomes internalized?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think that through. But anyway, let's I'm trying to, so just to stay on that idea of, does it blow the question apart? We'll still handle the question as it is, but I don't want to act like we're dodging the question, but I think it's worth recognizing that very often our thought processes are too simplistic. And in moments of sensitivity and of pain, it's not the moment necessarily to say to somebody, let's deepen your thought process. But as far as a general life orientation, that is a dangerously simplistic way of thinking to carry, because it can follow that if you think it is a proper value of the creative order that bad things happen to bad people, what is your state of mind, your state of heart toward any person who you may not know, to whom something bad is happening, whether it's an assault or homelessness?
Exactly.
Or is there something they deserved? Well, yeah, in the back of your head, in the abstract, when I don't know this person, that they must deserve it. But when it comes to me, it's different. I don't think about myself abstractly. If it hits me, that wasn't right. It was wrong.
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about there, just with the notion of bad people, and that any of us or all of us know who that is, and therefore what should happen to them. There's a different thought of someone who does bad things. Let's say you're not a bad person, but you habitually do bad things that are harmful to people. There has to be some consequence just because you keep hurting the larger society. I'm not saying, hey, you do bad things, but that's okay, man. Just do better tomorrow. No, we may have to, I don't know, incarcerate you or terminate you, depending on what you do. That's another whole hard question. But yeah, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do good things happen to people who do bad things?
Hold on one second. To piggyback off what you said before, as an example,
yeah,
this notion or idea of how we see ourselves as dynamic, but when we view and look at other people, we don't. I spoke to a friend of mine that I hadn't spoke to in years. We dated years ago, and I'm talking about like 20 years ago.
Ain't that awful that you're old enough that I'm old enough to even say that? 20 years ago. It makes me sad.
But it's weird. She spoke to me, like, initially, her mood and her energy, she spoke to me in the same vein that she thought of me back then.
At your point of departure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, you've evolved. She can recognize that she's changed and evolved over time, but yet and still.
Well, she's been there for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She witnessed that change firsthand. But all of a sudden, I think that's weird how we think of the people in our lives the way that we left them.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so if somebody's hurt you, or somebody's hurt me like years ago, I don't You know what I mean? I just assume that they've grown and they've changed and evolved the same way that I've grown and changed and evolved.
Yeah, I should assume that. I don't always, but I should.
You know what I'm saying? I just assume that we've all grown up and that you're different. You know what I'm saying? And if we have a conversation and you're not.
But that is not a habit of thought that I think a lot of people have.
Yeah. And maybe it's because I've done so much messing up. And I've had so many points where I've had to grow.
Yeah.
That I've had to make a conscious decision to grow. That's why it's always in the forefront of my mind. Probably.
Okay. We hit the answer right there. Perhaps. How could you have gotten to where you are if what someone decided back when to give you what you deserved at that moment? And maybe that's part of the why of the creative order. Call it God, call it universe, whatever. Call it mercy, call it whatever you want to call it. Second chance, anti-karma, I don't know. But but you could not be this Keelan if at some point in your past, when someone would have defined you as bad, the consequences.
Okay, we're not ready for that yet.
No, we got to.
Hold on, because we first got to step back. Hold that thought and let's come back.
I might lose that thought, man.
Write it down, because the point is we first have to figure out what is the nature of, if there is a God, what is the nature of it? Is it involved? Is it hands off?
Yeah.
Before we have the conversation of the stuff that happens to you, whether it was good or bad, did you deserve it or did you need it to happen so you could grow and evolve?
Yeah.
But we first got to figure out what is the nature of it. Is it involved in our lives?
Yeah. Now watch the dichotomy again, though. We're falling back to the dichotomy. Is it an either or? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not saying it's not an either or, but we're still recognize as we talk about it the dichotomy we're setting up between: is it a distant, impersonal energy that's just a battery for this whole thing, or is it some kind of involved personality? Is there somewhere else in the middle to go? I can't say I know that there is. We're kind of stuck in human conceptualization here. We can't get but so far out of our own box. But anyway, think about that. But here's one insight into that possibility without talking about those two categories. When you were talking earlier, something you said made me think. Oh, when you were talking about when you see on how they last were when you saw them.
Yeah.
Now, a different experience but similar is I think about, I guess I can't say all parents, but us with our kids. I'm sure I can say this about both of us. That from, let's say, whenever the crazy years started, middle school, high school, up until the day when they drive you absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
There's some part of you in your mind or your spirit that is, what's the word? That is still relating to this idea of your 4-year-old baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's still, so as you deal with your children who you have intimately watched grow up through all of their craziness.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of the craziness, there's a part of you that is still in your concept of that person as they are right now, that is still informed by this baby you held, this 4-year-old that cracked you up, this 5-year-old that was, so that, and that's still part of your point of reference for that person. So it's a place where the real and the abstract old memory of come together in a way that I don't know if they come together in many other places that way. I just think that's an interesting, because it made me think of what you said about this person who remembered you back when, as opposed to dealing with you who you are. Sometimes we're in these relationships with folks where in the moment when you're a red hot mess, I'm remembering a better yesterday.
See,
that I can't quite let go of when I deal with you.
Let me bring up this real quick and you can take it back again.
We just had
this conversation about where was I? I was having this conversation. And maybe I know at some point we probably talked about this.
Yeah.
We was talking about the kid that's on the street selling drugs.
Yeah.
Why don't you snitch on him?
Yeah.
Because you remember him when he wasn't a monster.
Right.
You remember
right.
him when he was the little kid.
Yeah.
Going to the YMCA playing basketball. With a backpack from school.
Yeah.
And that is where that conflict. He's doing something bad,
yeah.
But you know somewhere inside of him
is
a good kid, and you still have that frame of reference
that you can't shake. And I know dudes, I know men and women who will go to court for somebody who has done something. I mean, they did it, and they'll say before the judge, "It's a good kid, it's a good man, it's a good woman."
Yeah,
and you're like, "Fool, they did it.
Did he do it?" Yeah.
But as we're talking about, I realize part of what's driving their point of reference, what compels them to say what seems like a very stupid thing in court to the rest of the world that's dealing with this person in the moment, is they have this point of reference that they can't shake. from a better potential, a better, I won't say a better potential, a better time in that person's life, which spoke to a better capacity and potential in that person than they've chosen to realize in that moment. And so do I deal with you by your choices in the moment, or do I deal with you by your capacity for what you could be? And again, we're dichotomy. Maybe there's something else in the middle. I don't know. But it makes me think about folks who get up in court and say, he's a good kid. You're I'm like, no, that dude did that.
Yeah.
He had the gun in his hand. They caught him in the meth lab cooking.
Yeah.
But there's this person who knows them from back when.
Okay.
That has a memory of this as a good person. And what does that mean?
Hmm. We gotta tie this into.
But does that speak somehow to what the nature of God is as God deals with, if God is an involved God, an involved force,
is it
an involved
what do you
energy?
Think? Is it hands off?
I don't know.
Because the more I look, hell. Excuse me. The more I look, it's starting to appear as though if there is something larger than us, it is hands off.
Yeah,
to some degree, it's hands off because there have been too many heinous things that have happened.
Indeed,
that if there is something,
okay, go ahead.
If there is something there, and again, for those that are listening, this is not just our conversations aren't just Christian based. We're just saying. We're talking about consciousness, the universe, however we got here or whatever. And maybe we're just the Big Bang and an accident or whatever. Okay. But for those that believe there is something larger, if there is something larger, to me, it appears to be hands off because there have been so many heinous things that have happened that it didn't step in and intervene. And of course, I'm going to go to the extreme.
Yeah.
The Holocaust.
Well, we just had that memorial.
The Middle Passage.
Yeah.
Slavery. Like all of these things. And don't tell me that, not you, I'm saying in general, people can't tell me that during the Holocaust or during slavery, those people didn't pray and beg to God to be saved. And they deserved that. Like there were people who were born in those situations or that's all that. Like, so it's like the common question that people ask and that I get from atheists all the time are like, the reason that they don't believe is because horrible things happen to good people.
Yeah.
And if there was something there, either it's evil and it allows bad things to happen to good people, or it's not there at all.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I always consistently get, because bad stuff would not happen to some of these things, not bad stuff, horrendous things that have happened would not happen if it was there or if it cared. You see what I'm saying?
Both those options, and this is something that may have upset some people. Both those options, those are the only two options if you're working from the presumption that this force, this power, must be omnipotent.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's something some folks don't like to talk about.
Wow. Hold on. You need to repeat that.
What if this force, this entity, this God we're talking about, is not omnipotent?
Then, bro, you ain't God, bro. If you ain't omnipotent,
well, who says?
You ain't God? Then are you?
Well, is that what defines God? Is that what God has to be?
That's a
Greco-Roman philosophy.
Just saying, if you can make a universe,
yeah.
If you can make a universe and you can make a world, surely you can stop. You can curb this hurricane from hurting us in Puerto Rico.
Or can
surely? I'm not saying you're right. I'm saying from that person's from a person's place of reference. Like,
but for that point of view, you've already made an assumption about what God, a God you don't believe in, would have to be.
Good point.
You know what I mean? And I don't, what's the option? I don't know. Could the God, if we're assuming this God ordered the universe and its energy, his energy, her energy is what sustains and generates life. Does that persona, that energy, is it capable of withdrawing that energy from something? Maybe it isn't. Maybe once it gives that energy is just given. You know, when you birth the baby, you can't take back the DNA or any of that. But to really think differently about what God might be than what religion and philosophy have told us God has to be. What if God is not, in fact, omnipotent? What if God, the energy, etc., is so, to borrow a Christian term, so incarnational. In other words, so much a part of who we are that if we don't work in that space, it doesn't happen. If we as a people keep saying, well, Nazis are kind of strong, I don't want to do anything about that, let that happen. Or if we say, well, I don't like slavery, but I make a lot of money off this cotton, and I let it happen. And I'm not saying this is how it is. Understand me, folks. We're spinning. We're spinning ideas. I'm not saying this is how it is. But I'm wondering if you want to borrow that Christian idea, and actually there's some Hindu idea of this as well. If God is so completely incarnational that energy, that force, is so completely bound to and in us that if we don't do it, it's not happening. But if we should do it, there is a power at work in us that can change and shift and move things. Or it could just be this entity, this energy that gives life, that sustains life by nature, and maybe that's the extent of its might. I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility, but we to at least entertain the possibility. What if God just isn't omnipotent?
Hold on. Again, for those that are listening, shout out Big Nutty. What up? He has a podcast. What up? What his podcast is? What up, bruh? A lot of young guys come up with novel ideas, dealing with community, dealing with culture, dealing with environment. They got so check out his podcast if you get a chance. It's called What Up, Bruh. His comment is, and I appreciate you tuning in, my brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
His comment is, it's not that bad things happen to good people. It's more about the situation and the decisions that we made at that point in time. I agree. I think I agree with that. But the question is, Nutty, the question is, like, babies get cancer all the time.
Yeah.
Why does God let that happen? Christians... You know, I mean, like black people,
yeah.
Like the enslavement that black people went through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I definitely agree with him that we get in situations.
Yeah, why doesn't he?
And a lot of what, a lot of it, so a lot of what happened, and I think a lot of what happens to us has nothing to do with if there's a God or if there's a universal consciousness or anything. Sometimes it's just you get the energy back that you put into the world. You was in a situation and you made a decision and you're reaping whatever happened from that decision. So you're reaping your own energy. So I think that people need to make sure that we are very clear about that.
Oh, yeah.
Everything ain't God letting something happen to you.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that happens to us is of our own doing.
If you ain't pay your tax and get audited, that's because you ain't paying your
yeah,
taxes.
To pay your taxes, bro. That's what that is.
But you said this before, and we can talk this through later, but if I don't let them forget it. The idea that the energy you put out comes back to you. You reap what you sow is another way to say that. But I like the energy idea, because with the energy idea, that makes this thing a lot more complicated, because you're putting out energy, I'm putting out energy, everybody's putting out some kind of energy. And energies don't bump into each other, bounce off. They intersect, they cross, they mingle. Yeah. Wavelengths either amplify or minimize each other. So each of us, to some degree, especially in systemic issues, you're dealing with energy that's being put out that isn't yours. You're just also caught up in the frequency, the wavelength of what someone else is putting out. And when you get into these kind of things we've talked about, human things, well, then someone has made a structure and a system that proliferates a thing to happen to people. Now, you get the natural stuff, that's a whole different weird thing. But
see, this is what I okay.
So let's say this then. Why doesn't an omnipotent God send an angel down to just kill Hitler or break open all the Auschwitz camp or knock the gas chambers over? Why doesn't that happen? Because it didn't happen. Nobody came down and broke all the chains. We had to wait on Harriet Tubman and someone else to wade across the water to get us. We couldn't just you know, why not? Either God doesn't care, God is bad, or God is not omnipotent. I don't. If you got another option, chime in. And I don't think personally.
God
that isn't omnipotent isn't a slur. In any way, because when you
say God is not omnipotent, what that sounds like you're saying is that God can't do everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, hell, excuse me then.
Because if God could do everything.
I think that whatever, I think.
Or what would happen if God just did everything? What if, because I guess the other thing I wrestle with is, because you hear that sometimes God can do everything, but there are things God chooses not to do. And we can't understand why God doesn't do them. I guess we got to put that on the board too as a possibility.
Which goes to the point that maybe whatever it is, it's just hands off.
Yeah.
There it is. Y'all deal with it. I'm going to put y'all down there and y'all deal with it. So this goes back to my statement that I made maybe last week, a couple of weeks ago. And this is just my, again, anybody listen, this is my perspective. I don't believe that there is a man in the air, like a God, like typically how people think of what God is. I think there is just energy. I don't think that there's a man picking and choosing and pulling levers and making stuff happen. So what I think is connected to something you just said. I think that whatever it is, I don't think whatever it is that has us here, I think that it would give us all that we need to survive and thrive. I don't think that people have to, again, as I said before, like this whole notion of how when people need something, they beg into God.
Yeah.
I think that most of the time, most people's prayers don't get answered is because I think whatever it is gave you the power to manifest what you want to manifest in this life, and you ain't using it. And whatever it is, it's not going to do it for you.
Well, that's a clearer way to say this thing I said about incarnation. I mentioned that to borrow a Christian idea, to take it to its extreme, which I don't think is necessarily incorrect. But yeah, that the power is available. The power makes itself available. I do believe in a God, not a God in a rocking chair with puppet strings. I do believe in a persona that has an interest and a will and a love for what he has made or what she has made. If that works for you, whatever it is, it's not you can't put a gender on something that's not a man or a woman. But that might make folks mad by itself. I don't know. But I believe in a God that who is interested, who is involved. But I still am trying for myself to work out the nature of that involvement beyond just what I know I can and ought to and have the capacity to be as I deal with the world around me. And what I look at today, you kind of see this God frustration in different ways, that you see people who could make changes in their community that think their whole role is just to vote for someone else to do it. And then you're mad at that politician because they didn't fix the problem. You're mad at the governor, the president, because they didn't fix the problem. You're mad at the teacher because they didn't fix the problem. And ultimately, as I continue to be mad at folks, I'm mad at God because God didn't fix the problem. But a lot of the problem is a societal habit. Here's a good example. If bad things happen to bad people, there is some girl that has committed suicide because all of the messages of her life tell her she's not pretty enough. Now, that's partially driven by the advertising conglomerate, the capitalism system that is just driven by over-consumerism, which we all feed into. We finance these systems. So how far down the ladder does God have to strike folks? Preferably before he stops at me, I assume. Hmm. That's what I would like. when I buy my shoes and don't worry about where they come from. And so I want something bad to happen to the dude that runs a sweatshop. But I bought the shoe from the company that paid him to run the sweatshop. How far down the chain do you want God to start striking people? So I wonder sometimes in the things we do, God's trying to figure out how many folks do I have to smite? Because you have society, and you can't say society like it's not people. You have us in systems we propagate and fund and permit and vote for.
So by your logic.
So where's the accountability for by the your bad logic, thing?
So it's just like the young kid that gets a gun and shoots somebody goes to jail.
Yeah.
But the guy that made the gun don't get caught.
How come he don't? How come the rest of the folks that buy guns from his company?
So
don't?
By that, so
by if you're attorney, you sue everybody you can.
So then by that logic, karma isn't real. Everybody don't get theirs in the end.
Mm-mm.
We would like for everybody to get theirs in the end because it makes us feel better when somebody does something bad to
at
us.
The personal level,
it makes us rest easier knowing that somewhere down the line, they gonna get theirs. But in reality, that's not true. They're evil people that just live out their life and die, and it's what it is.
It's what it is.
So what does that say about the nature of God? What does it say about the nature of life? What does it say about the nature of...
Stop there, because that's the one. I think that's what, to me, is I think about a God who's involved. It's the nature of life that I think complicates the situation. The nature of life, what we've talked about in a large part is, the nature of life is this. It's me. As I make reference to the rest of the world, it's me and you, it's me and them, it's me and society, it's me and this, it's me and that. And what if the nature of life is supposed to just be us? And part of the sickness of our current society is none of us, well, I shouldn't say none of us, that's not fair, but the vast majority don't make reference to us. For example, we can be in a town as big as a town that Keelan and I are working in, and we talk about the black community, the east side community, the north side community. It ain't that big of a town. It's just a community. What's the difference if we say in a church, for example, let's pray for the west side community as opposed to let's pray for our community? Hmm. Or to say a kid got shot over on this side of town as opposed to saying one of our children got shot. One of your children got shot. Nuh-uh, I got five kids. I ain't one of my kids. But if it's us, it's a whole different mentality as far as how you can think of things. But yeah. Us is hard because now I got all kinds of pain, excuse my language, all kinds of shit into my window of emotion and feeling and psychology I can't handle.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do me. And once I do me, then all these questions come up. But I wonder if you think about a God who is universally interested, it really does become a question of which one of these jokers do I smack down? Do I smack down the dude that sold his food stamps, the dude at the bottom, the system that never gives folks enough help to get out of a system like that? Do I smack down the folks who are completely uninvolved in the situation, but they never help because they're at soccer or they're at work or they just do their thing at their house? Are they accountable for not caring for this other person that's a part of their world and a part of humanity as a whole? Who do I strike down? it's just one point of reference. We got another response on the board there.
Yeah, Nutty says the reason why people don't truly understand how God works is because we are gods and goddesses, which lead us to consciousness. But that's another day.
That might be another day.
Today is the day. That is exactly.
Yeah.
That is
that's
gold.
What Keelan's point of I'm going to make this sound fancy. Keelan's conception of deism is exactly that yeah. The energy, the force, whatever it is, resides in terms of responsibility and action in us. And we have for say, I think in large part, who am I talking to?
What up, Brace Nation?
What up, bro? I think in large part we have, as human beings, forsaken that part of our identity, that we've forsaken that responsibility.
No, we haven't. We haven't been taught that.
Well, okay. We haven't been taught that.
Me and Nutty, Big Nutty, we share the same perspective. I think that we are gods.
But even without gods and goddesses.
But when you say that, yeah. That sounds... Blasphemous. It does. I just think that whatever God is, not a person, whatever that energy is, it is in us. I think that that is how we have the power. Literally, if you tap into it, you can speak and manifest what you want to manifest in your life. And the problem is we are taught that whatever it is outside of us.
Yeah.
And we're praying and begging for something outside of us to fix all of our problems.
Yeah.
When in actuality, whatever it is internal. And we got to figure out that dope point, my brother. That's a very dope point. We got to figure out how to tap into it. Now, that doesn't mean that energy, like you're saying, isn't whatever it is, doesn't reside outside of us. I just think it's within us as well, and that we can tap into it.
Absolutely. Even if you have, well, when I say forsake, maybe you have not been taught or been taught not to think of yourself as a god or a goddess. And I do wrestle with that as far as being individual. I think it's one force. It's one power that we're all supposed to, and I think invited by the best of what's in any religious structure. I mean, it gets corrupted, but by the best of any spiritual understanding, we're invited to participate in and work out of. I believe that. But even if you don't say gods and goddesses, even if you just talk about personal responsibility and accountability for the world around you, we forsake that.
Yeah.
We'd rather let someone else handle that. I'm going to take care of my little life. I'm going to make sure I thrive.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the we.
But again, the reason that we do that is I think that we're taught this crap notion that resources are few and far between.
Yeah.
And you can only think about yourself.
Rich or poor, you're taught they're few and far between.
Yeah. So it's not ain't enough scholarships out here. Think about your kid.
Yeah.
Ain't enough food out here. Ain't enough money out here.
Yeah.
Like, get yours, because it's not enough for everybody.
Yeah.
And by helping somebody else, you're taking out of your kid's mouth. You're taking out of your family mouth when we don't understand. And like with Big Nutty, like again, his podcast is What Up, Bruh. With their podcast, something that I call in and ideas that they was kicking around on his podcast, this notion of idea. They just like young brothers just sitting around the table thinking of ideas.
Yeah.
Like, they really on some How do we become entrepreneurs? How do we collect all our money together and we buy the block? Like, how do that's why I said, like, they're young and they're coming up with raw ideas, but they're thinking, like, in a collective. He thinks in a collectivistic type of matter,
that's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's us, it's we, and how can we not be afraid of each other? Yeah. Like, we're taught to be scared of each other. We're taught to be afraid of each other. We're taught their limited resources. And I think that that's a larger part of the reason why we, you know what I'm saying? Like, why it's so hard. That's a good point. Again,
that was last show, man. That's what we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Religion came second. What up, bruh? Said before religion was created, we as a people only knew spiritual essence. We knew that, and we experienced what it was to be a real part of that essence and to feel that. And then religions decided to say, "There's rules to this, and there's a fixed way to do it," and that always comes second, and that always becomes binding and restrictive. Because if you continue to experience something that exceeds the religious limitation, because it was only made for its moment, then all of a sudden it's a heresy.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't say things like we're gods and goddesses. But you can say, and this would make anybody in a strict religious section struggle not to admit, you can say, even in a religious setting, you can't deny the teaching that we are supposed to be people inhabited by that presence, that God, whatever it is. You know, I love the idea in the various, and it is various, expressions of Hinduism and indigenous Indian religion, of the idea of I worship the God in you.
Yeah.
It's not I worship you, but the God in you, God in me. It's the same thing. As I look at you, I have to remember the fact that there's something in you.
Yeah.
That is the God that I worship.
Yeah.
And that has conditioned what I do with you and how I treat you. Because I can't mistreat you without mistreating that.
Exactly.
And I can't treat you with something entirely other than me, because there's something in you that's in me that is the same. But so even people who would say, you can't talk about gods and goddesses. Yes, but you can't deny the fact, if you ascribe to any of the traditional religious understandings of God, that even in that understanding, the intended goal, the intended destiny for us is to be people who are intimately in connection with that presence, that force.
Culture imperialism. That's
a
good point. Yeah, yeah. And taking that a step further. I look at everything here as a manifestation of that energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've sat in churches back in the day that they're like, animals don't have a soul. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I look at you, if I think that you don't have a soul, and I see you as something separate from myself. It becomes this double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That was made from this cow. Tastes a whole lot better.
Right.
Like, it's easier. I mean, it's the same thing that the defacing, like defacing. Like, it was easier to hurt slaves when they was niggas.
Oh yeah.
I don't see the guy, when I don't see you as a manifestation of the larger energy like myself.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're something
easier.
Different. You're something different.
It's easier to rape women and hurt women when they just bitches.
Yeah.
Pardon my French to people out there listening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't see you as a king or a queen, if I don't see you as myself, like, whenever I call, like, whenever me and Big Nutty talk, I call in, it's like, what's up, king? It's like, what's up, king? Like, the way we speak to each other plays an important part in how we think about each other and how we think about ourselves.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So it's like, I've heard there are some religions, some people out there, that especially up north, it was popular that dudes would call each other God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, speaking life into each other and seeing who you are and recognizing who you are plays an important part in how I treat you, how I think about you, and how you think about yourself as a God. Or like when we speak to each other through podcast.
Oh,
when we speak to each other through podcast, we always call each other king.
Yeah.
And everybody on his panel, they call each other young king. Like, again, that language speaks to how.
This is an interesting point we need to pick up somewhere with somebody smarter than us probably, but who has a historical background. But there is a lot of documentation, because what we're talking about is how language influences thought.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to be careful sometimes what you're saying. It influences and can enforce and reinforce how you think. There was a great turn in the ways of theological thinking in Christianity. In Judaism, when those people came in contact with Muslim cultures, not Islam, Muslim people, because their ways of speaking and their philosophy and their language opened up new ways of thinking for those who came into contact with him.
Yeah.
That's why it was such an academic location in the Middle East, because just their way of thinking, their way of talking, their way of expressing things opened up new ways for people to think. I just want to throw that in there, just a little, you know, prop to Muslim culture. But the way you say things can influence how you think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I just want to put that in there because that's what you're talking about. The way I address people, it isn't just talk. As you practice that, it influences, it should influence what happens in your mind. Now, why is it that Christians can conjure their brother and still mistreat each other? That's a whole different question we got to talk about. But maybe because we don't always like our family. Maybe that's why king is better than brother, because I might not be able to stand my brother. But or to talk about neighbor, but it's in the concept of I live in this house, you live in that house. I may say hi to you in the driveway, but you go to your house, I go to my house.
Yeah. Shout out Rick for participating. We appreciate you. He said he's from the Middle East.
If I explain that wrong, Rick, you let me know. But my understanding is that as other cultures came into contact with Muslim culture and philosophy, it opened up new ways of thinking for those cultures because they had not thought and spoken with the language that these people had at hand. To think, it opened up new ways of thinking that influenced and benefited at least the thought life of Christianity,
yeah.
And if not the colonialism of it.
And he states he's from Iran. Okay, that's good. And again, for those that are out there, if you have access to type in, let us know what you think. Our topic for the day is, again, what do you think about the nature, you know, the nature of, if there is a God or something larger than us, why do you think good things happen to bad people? If there is something larger out there, why doesn't it stop good things happening to bad people? I don't know if it'll actually allow a call to come through, but yeah, try to call in and we'll see if we can connect you. Okay. Go ahead and try to give us a call. We'll see if we can make it connect and play through. Hello?
Hello?
I hear him a little bit. Hang on, but we're working out the volume. Hold on.
Hold on 1 second. We'll see if we can get you through.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're just on the headphones. I don't know if everybody else can hear him, though. We got you on the headphones, though.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, let me take my headphones.
Okay, you there?
Yeah, let me just... Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All right. So let us, we appreciate you calling in. Let us know what you think. The topic of the show is, if there is a God, why does it allow good things at people? Is there a God, but it's just hands off? It put us here and we just handle, you know, we just handle our business? Or is it because
there is a God and, you know, his hands, is put off from this world, and you know, he cannot do anything to us.
Okay, so you are you saying that it won't or it can't? Is it it just decides that when it sees slavery or it sees countries being bombed or it sees the Holocaust or whatever, it just allows it to happen, or it can't do anything?
You know, Jimmy Page is my friend, and he want to call to if it is possible, he can call.
Yeah, it can call, but I think if you both get on the line together, I think it'll create an echo, so we'll have to take the calls one at a time, I think.
Okay, so...
Is he just going to get on the line, or is he going to call separately? I'm getting an echo. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, we had to disconnect you because we're getting a lot of feedback. Try to call back again if you can. And again, I think we got about 10 minutes left in the show. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Again, let us know what you think. If there's a God, let us know your opinion, perspective. Why does God let good stuff happen to bad people? Huh? If there's a God, why did it watch slavery happen? If there's a God, why did it watch the Holocaust happen? That's what we're trying to figure out. Is it that God doesn't care? Pastor Joe brought up a really good idea. Maybe God ain't all powerful. Maybe God was powerful enough to make us, but it ain't all powerful to stop some of this stuff that we are.
Not apart from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And whether that's choice or not, I don't know.
Yeah. So, again, let us know what you think. Personally, I think that to some degree, whatever it is hands off. I think that to some degree, we are God. I think whatever it is inside of us, and we can speak and manifest what we want to manifest in this life. We just have to tap into that energy. You know what I'm saying? I think that was the thing about the Egyptians. A lot of people thought that the Egyptians worshipped multiple gods, but when you saw, and we got another call coming in. Let me go ahead and answer that real quick. Jamie Page. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. How are you, sir?
Thanks, buddy. Look, I'm calling from Iran. I just wanted to let you know what I think about this God thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I just I believe, you know, the religious God is just nothing but a delusion. And everybody can define God in their own words and their own way. And at the end of the day, God is not going to work for or against us. We're just left alone. And, you know, your opinions, your beliefs can affect the way you live. But ultimately, we're just on our own. We just got to wake up in the morning, start doing our things. Nobody's going to intervene, you know?
That's actually one of the topics that we're kicking around for the next show is the notion or idea that all there are a lot of religions that have a Jesus Christ figure, and is it all just astrology and astrotheology, you know, and does it really exist at all? So that's interesting that you brought that point up, because next week that's an idea that we're thinking about, seeing how people respond to this notion or idea. Does any of it exist? Is it all just astrology? Is it all just astrotheology? And is that how you got six to 17 other, you know, religions that all have a Messiah figure that was born December 25th that dies and rose from the grave? The one thing they all have in common are the stars. So it's interesting that you say that. And are we just, however we got here, are we just here and it is our jobs as best as we can to live the best life that we can?
So yeah, exactly. Man, I think, you know, we're just superficial animals. That's what we are. We love to get together and talk about all these delusional stuff, you know. That's actually, this thing had some evolutionary value during our evolution because it made us get together. You know what I mean? It's just about the culture. I mean, the idea of God brings people together.
Yeah.
They get together, they talk about it, they just make up their own culture about it. But end of the day, that's why all these religions have these things in common. They have the notion of God, the Messiah.
Yeah,
we have it in our DNA.
And hold on, I think Rick is calling in. Rick, I'll get you in 2 seconds. That's a good point. There are a lot of pieces that have been written out there about the notion or idea that the reason that we believe in God is because we're afraid of dealing with our own mortality, that one day you're going to die. So the notion or idea.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, here's a weird thing about that, though, because in a lot of the ancient expression of Judaism, there was no thought of an afterlife. That was not a part of their equation. It was just a question of how do I relate with God in this world while I'm here. And so that's an interesting thing that gets lost in a lot of other expressions of religion. This was a group that wasn't trying to figure out how do I skip death or how do I do a cool afterlife. They understood when this is over, it's over. And yet there was still something for them that was like, but how do I relate with this God and with my people? Anyway, that's we need to pick that up in a different call. Hey,
we
lost Rick. Well, we got somebody else coming in.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate it, Jamie. Peace and blessings.
Yeah,
to
check
you, my
in
brother.
Again sometime, man. Thanks for the insight.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get Rick in here real quick and see his perspective again. All right, thanks again, brother.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Peace and blessings. Hi, we appreciate you for calling Synergy. You're on the line. So tell us what you think. Hello? Think it's all Nick? AO Nick 14, are you there?
I heard something.
Yeah, we're having some issues hearing you, so try to get your line right, and we will respond if you call back again. Thanks.
All right, Rick, it's open line, man. Where you at?
Yeah, Rick, if you can get a chance. Yeah,
we couldn't get to you earlier, man. We got a little time left, Rick, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, we apologize. When you get more than one person on the line, a part of what will happen is you'll start to get feedback. So it's probably always best just to have one caller, one person in at a time. And it seems like, again, what we hear.
Somebody's on here.
I think Jamie. Jamie, I think Jamie still might be connected. You might have to disconnect on your end. It's not giving me an option to disconnect you. So make sure you hang up on your end, Jamie, if you're still listening. More and more, the more we speak to people and the more we talk about this, the more we're starting to, people are feeling, I think people are looking for, people don't want to say that God is evil and allowing it to happen. So more and more, seems like the response or that people are coming up with is just, there is something, people are, seem to believe there is something larger than us, but whatever it is, it's hands off, and we have to figure out how to use our own energy, our own perspectives, find the good within us to live the best lives that we can. That seems to be one of the more popular perspectives that we've heard or that we're starting to hear. But again,
so a thought for future shows then might be, if it's hands off, why bother with goodness? What compels us to bother with goodness?
Why be good in the first place? Especially if there's no karma and there's no, and nothing is going to get me back.
What still compels us to be that, do that? One of the calls, last call, your man says something about being our DNA. I thought that was interesting. What compels us, even if it's folks who say there's no God, still to lean toward goodness and to judge negatively things we perceive as evil?
And to some degree, I mean, I agree with him. Like, and you know, I say it all the time. I agree with him in that, as I've said before, don't let your iPhone and your car fool you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we are animals. There are only 3 chromosomes that separate us from monkeys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something like
there's
3
a lot of stuff on a chromosome. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, but like, it's like the only thing that separates us from animals is our ability to, from a cognitive perspective,
yeah,
is our ability to think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is your ability to make your frontal lobes, your ability to make plans and think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't like the way they sound, but it's the truth. A lot of what we do, a lot of the way we react and respond in the world comes from an evolutionary place. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think he's saying in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But what makes, for example, an atheist put some part of their prosperity for tomorrow at risk to do good for someone else? I guess we've got to ask some atheists.
Yeah.
but honestly, if it's all really of no account, what makes us value the things we generally value as human beings? We said this in an earlier show, even folks that do foul stuff, a slavery, a Auschwitz, a Holocaust, still felt the need to try to couch what they were doing in good terms. Insane as it was, they tried to couch it in terms that were honorable and noble. Why even bother? Why not just say, I don't like these folks, I'm killing them, or I need these folks to make money, period.
Yeah.
What makes us need or want to be defined for ourselves as good? And where does that conception of what good is even come from?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I mean, we can't do that today, but
yeah,
I guess we need to write that down for next round or round 3 or 4. And so you've got a question in front of you, y'all. So if you want to get us some questions in response to this before next time we're on the air, we'd love to share those as part of what we talk about next time. We appreciate you accepting the offer of this conversation and joining it with us. We appreciate that. as we continue, we'll learn to finesse this call system a little better, hopefully.
Yeah.
We're glad you're chiming in. I hope nobody has felt like they were being put on the spot to defend themselves. Just share. It's not here to debate or argue, just a space to share where you're at. And maybe as we listen to each other, as Keelan and I try to do, we step upon some things that are they true or not, I don't know, but that feel right in our souls as far as how we understand things. So glad you're participating. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And again, peace and blessings out there to everybody. Again, we'll thank everybody who, again, you could have been doing anything, but you decided to hang out with us for a while.
That.
Again, Synergy, a part of what you will see on Mahogany Love and Light. You'll see Love Lines. Love Lines is a show that I do on Sundays at 6 o'clock. This Sunday we got a dope women's panel coming up who will respond to our men's panel. So as you go through the list of shows, that's why you'll see an array and a variety of stuff that looks all over the place. But in actuality, we appreciate you. So again, Love Lines, about loving relationships, is Sunday at 6. Synergy, and this show, Synergy, that myself and Joe Hill do together. This show is usually all about consciousness, spirituality, identity, and thought. So again, not necessarily specifically Christianity, but just what is consciousness? And I mean, we're going to get into consciousness from a lot of different angles and directions. Religion, what is God? You know, at some point or another, we got people that's going to come on and talk about psychedelics and their experience with psychedelics and what happened. They feel their perspective on consciousness. Like, so again, anything that deals with consciousness, spirituality, identity, thought, all of that kind of stuff. If you have ideas, definitely send them in to us.
Yeah.
Our email is Synergy, KHJH, at gmail.com. That's Synergy, KHJH, at gmail.com. Call in again, the Big Nutty. My brother, I appreciate you. Peace and blessings to you, King. Again, his podcast is What Up Bruh, W-A-T. UPBRUH, what up, bruh? Like I said, it's a lot of young cats, a lot of young guys with innovative ideas, just thinking about life, talking about community, talking about culture, talking about entrepreneurism and black entrepreneurism. A lot of guys got a lot of, you know, doing a lot of good stuff and a lot of great ideas. So definitely check his podcast out if you're out there. So again, we want to say peace and blessings to everybody. We appreciate you. Again, you could have been anywhere, but you were here with us. And hopefully, again, Synergy, usually we do Synergy, what, on Fridays at about 11-ish?
Fridays around 11. We might do some late shows when we get into things like street theology, street code.
Yeah,
those might be later shows, but generally this will be about the time.
Yeah, yeah. So again, peace and blessings to you. Take care of each other. Love each other. And until we meet again, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Now I can sing you the storyline, and if you like my story, fine. But ain't none of the glory mine. See, my life was a lonely one, and I was dear mama's only son, with no idea what I'm gonna become. And I didn't have long to know that you don't have to be grown to go. I could have died so long before. Then I finally saw the sign. Down the line, one step at a time. I feel better. I can smile at it now. I feel better. Oh, better. And even a little is still better. Oh, have mercy on me. Oh, it's probably plain to see that I got a whole lot of pain in me, and it will always remain in me. So cold, it's a crying shame.
circumstances put soul in me, and there ain't no holding me. I've got a heart made of gold in me. Can you believe this is where I've been? And when adversity comes again, I feel it then. I feel it better.